Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and this is, of course, Black History Month. Now, I selected that for a reason because, you know, today when information is so readily available, I mean, at your fingertips, needless to say, do y'all know this was out in 1976. Now, of course, that was a hodgepodge of stuff, but for those who can remember, there was not a whole lot of information about Black History Month available in 1976. Now, you might think that it was, but I can tell you it wasn't, particularly if you weren't in an environment or around someone who, you know, was about it. But in many situations, that right there, what you just heard, was how you begin to learn about some Black history. Now, I know that might sound a little strange. However, it is the truth. It was songs like that that introduced young children in particular, and some older folks too, to a few of the names that you heard, Matthew Henson and, you know, a few others. Again, we tend to take certain things for granted, family, that we are very familiar with today and have a lot of access to today, but I can tell you it wasn't always like that. And so, again, I just wanted to play that as a reminder and also as kind of a reference point to see that we have come somewhat far in certain things. And, of course, that should be because everything else has come far, technology and other things. But the thing is, are we really upholding – now here's where it gets good. Are we really upholding the history, the legacies, the traditions of those who were pioneers and made these great contributions? Are we really doing that today? Well, we're going to start examining that in this dialogue tonight, family. And again, welcome to this, our first edition of Black History Month 2023. And we are going to have an open mic and raise the question in regards to what does it mean to be Black? What are we really talking about? Now, periodically, we have this kind of dialogue conversation about that, particularly when it comes to some of the oppositions to the word Black. But we have to start asking ourselves and one another, what does it mean to us? regardless of what anybody else thinks or says about it or what the Black Law Book says and all of that. I mean, that's like saying what Webster said in Oxford. I mean, yeah, it has its place, but are we allowing it or that to define us? I dare say no, not at all. And so, you know, we keep it all into perspective, and that's okay. But the point is, what are we talking about? What do we think is the definition, or what are we saying it is? So we're going to have that conversation tonight because I think we need some kind of clarity, perhaps. At any rate, again, welcome to the segment of New Day. Tonight, we're going to cover a couple of things. And, of course, we're going to talk with a couple of people. And one of those should be coming up very shortly. Brother Herschel Daniels will be joining us. We have put a couple of calls out previously to get a report, you know, from some folks that went to Geneva in December. There was a major, major conference that took place in December, and UN connected, but from all over the world, and actually quite a few folks from the U.S. attended as well. But this was a very important assembly, and I want our people to become more familiar with some of these interactions, because unfortunately, a lot of times this stuff is kept in circles that is kind of tight-knitted. It doesn't really matriculate down to or into our communities, into where the masses are. And I tend to think that sometimes people think that either the masses don't care or the larger body in our communities either don't care or can't comprehend or what have you. And so we keep certain kinds of information amongst ourselves, you know, because unfortunately that's the way it's been. Those who are either so-called more educated or those who are more into, you know, the certain realms of the church or other faith-based kind of interactions, or those who got some money or in government tend to be able to get access to certain types of information. Well, here at New Day and with MWM Universal Movements, we are here to change some of that. We want to do whatever we can to assist, again, the masses of our people to get certain types of information. And so, again, we should be talking to Brother Herschel Daniels very shortly, and he's going to give us the 411 on what went on in December. What did that assembly mean, and why is it important that we know something about it? We're going to also talk with him about what's coming up for next year, which is the closing for what's known as the International Decade for African People. How many folks know about that? Why are not our politicians telling us about these types of things? Should we not at least, you know, be given some kind of information about this? And how could that benefit us? We're going to talk about that tonight also. Again, family, it's very important that we now pay closer attention to what's really going on. Who's really representing us with the best interests? Who is just kind of there to, shall we say, do the job that is about what their office entails for them to do, right? Which is to be as the liaison and the go-between, you know, the actual administrative government portions of things. They're the link to the community or the constituency or what have you. So we, again, have to really get ready because y'all do know next year is a presidential election. And so needless to say, well, it's going to be very, very interesting. And anyway, family, again, we're going to have an open mic very shortly. I just want to check in for a moment to see if we have our brother in queue. I am not seeing him just yet. So let me check and see what's going on. We are waiting for Brother Herschel to call in. So let's check to see if that's happening. But also, we are going to talk tonight with our own Sister Gail Frazier. She's going to give us our Chirac update, but also some very, very interesting and important information. For those who do not know what's going on in the public school system, well, I can tell you that there is some education, or should I say indoctrination, that is now being forced on our children. And again, I had a conversation with a sister earlier, pickups to Sister Trixie, and we had a very good interaction in getting ready for a interview that's coming up next week. But one of the conversations, or a part of the conversation, was in fact dealing with or about the kind of sexual preference or lifestyle stuff that's now being placed into public schools. Now, Mama Gail, who's here in Philly, talked about this some time ago and even gave us examples of how some of this was going to be happening. Well, I can tell you it is definitely being put in place, but folks are not just sitting by letting it happen. Folks are, in fact, doing some things about it. And so we're going to talk with our sister, Dr. Gail Frazier, who is going to talk with us about that. And also, when we talk about police and governmental terrorism, well, needless to say, we just, of course, heard about something, another murder that recently took place in Memphis. And since then, I think I have like two more that you haven't heard much about. But the other thing, going back to Chicago for a moment, and big ups to our sister Keisha, always, always doing the research, always, you know, looking for things that she know I'm definitely interested in when it comes to black women. And she sent me earlier this week a story, information on three black women who were from either directly from Chicago or, you know, lived in the one of the suburban areas, the surrounding areas. And these three sisters were, you know, seeking a career in the music entertainment industry. It just so happened they were murdered. They were found in a car, murdered. And supposedly it was a robbery or something like that. But the fact of the matter is we are finding and hearing more and more of our women in particular, our people in general, but certainly our women in particular, who are coming up dead. And when I talked to our sister, Dr. Gail, I asked her if she had heard anything about it, because that's her area, Chicago, and she tends to get, you know, a lot of good information, or a lot of information, period, about, you know, things that's happening in Chicago, but she had not heard anything about it. And so, wow, we're going to talk a little bit about some of what's going on, again, in Chicago when it comes to the missing black women and girls in that area as well. So there's three areas we're going to speak with her about, and that, again, is the forced information or indoctrination of our children in the public school system, also the police and governmental terrorism that is there, and we're going to talk with her about the missing black women and girls, and also the ones that are murdered in Chicago. There's a whole slew of that there, and a lot of people don't know. At one point, they found like 11 black women in some houses. And so, again, we're going to tell you more about that as we proceed. Also, we're going to talk again with the brother who was on a couple of weeks ago. Brother Anthony Elmore is going to be joining us again tonight, and we're going to talk with him about some of the history of Memphis. Wait till you hear some of that. Not this really surprising, particularly, you know, what we know about what was going on in the South, but this brother has done some research that is just out of sight. And so, again, we're going to talk with him about some of that. And so, okay, I was still looking to see if Brother Herschel was in queue. He is not yet. So, family, let's do this while I try to see what's going on there. Let's open up the mic for you all again. I want to ask the question. Since this is Black History Month, we're going to do some open mic right about now. And the question is, what does it mean to you to be Black? What does that mean when we say we're Black? And sometimes we interchange it with African, but I want to go with the word or that expression for right now. What does it mean to you to be Black? What are we defining it as? What are some of the attributes? What's some of the makeup for it? What are some of the criteria, et cetera? So please press one now. I would love to hear your views since this is Black History Month and folks are commemorating Black History Month, not yellow, not green, not red, but Black History Month. What does that mean to you? If you would like to give your opinion, your thoughts about it, please press one now. And again, we certainly would love to hear from you. And in the meantime, I'm going to try to see what's going on with our brother Herschel, who should have been calling in by now. So I'm going to check to see now. Okay, family, come on now. We need somebody to give us some idea about what it means to be Black. Come on, you can press one so that we can hear your views, your comment about that. Okay. All right, I'm still not connecting with Brother Herschel for some reason. All right, well, it looks like we might have to reschedule because he is not picking up, and you all don't seem to have a response for that question. What does it mean to be Black? Oh, okay, somebody's going to answer that question. Okay, let's do that. All right, we're going to go to caller at 9462. Your mic is now open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
What up, big homie?
Hey, mama.
This is Elder Mama coming
you here
in a silly moment, what can I say?
I know that's right.
You know, y'all know by now about me. You know I have a griot, jolly, marabou style of telling a story or answering a question or reciting some information, and so here we go. My view on Black is inside of our African languages. That's why I only pray in African languages. I won't pray in English, because there are too many concepts, intuitions, insights, thoughts and ideas in African languages that just don't exist, those languages. So in saying that, Afghanistan, which when you break the word down is Afghana, and yeah. I'll speak about the prefix af in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Africa actually was Afraika. Speak about the af in a moment. White people grasped the concept of af, which is why they removed it from Afmorica or Afmerica. Here we go. Af. The prefix af means Black. So Afmerica is the Black land of love and spirit. Meri is love. Ha is spirit. Afmorica, same thing. Afrauika. The Black light and sun, which is bridged by U-E, it's literally a bridge, and Ka is, again, it's a spirit. The prefix Af means black. So it's kind of ignorant for us to not acknowledge the blackness, because it's in the verbiage. It's in our ancient languages. It is in our thoughts. It is in our reality of who we are. That's not really a question. And I apologize, because I've heard you with this discussion before, and for whatever reason, I was unable to connect. But this time, I guess, Spirit said it's time. And so they made it real easy for me to get through. And if you don't believe me, look it up. Research it. You don't have to believe me.
So, Go back for one moment. So what did you say was the other word for black? What was that word again?
Af. So the prefix Af means black.
Okay. Wow.
Now think of all the words that begin with Af.
Okay. Wow. Love it. Okay.
You know me.
I like
words. You know me. I'm a neologian. I love language and words. So that's my contribution, and I yield.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you. Well, we appreciate that. And listen, We got to get you black on real soon, because one of the things we're going to be talking more about for next month is, and you of all people definitely got to be in on these conversations, we've decided that we're going to go ahead and start doing some, you know, some educating our children, you know, this year. We've waited long enough. And so now, you know, we're just going to use what we got. Wherever it is, we're going to do that. Until we get a larger facility, we're going to be educating our own children. And that's really been the holdback, you know, waiting to try to get a facility, a building. Well, we've decided we're not waiting. We're just going to, you know, just like they used to have the little schoolhouses and whatever back in the day, look, whatever it takes, we're going to do it. So now, you know, we're telling people either put up or shut up. You know, we cannot continue to not educate our children and continue to depend on the system to do that for us. So we'll be talking with you very soon, Mama Condi.
No problem. Do y'all still have, are you still working on that, what was it, a library, a building?
Yes. We're getting ready to have a meeting with, because, you know, they're fighting us. Well, we, you know, we expected that. Fighting us. And so we're getting ready to have a meeting, a community meeting first, so that the community can, you know, take the position that, yes, you know, that building needs to be released. The city of Philadelphia is saying, you know, they're not really saying anything, to be honest with you, but we're going to force the issue. And so, but, you know, the first things are first, and that is they sent the cops around. Just to make everybody, give you a little update, they did send the cops around. They took our lock off and put another lock on. Okay. And so, you know, we're letting people know that's not going to stop us. But what we're getting ready to do next is to get the community more involved in it, and then we will proceed. But it's just been too freaking cold right now to do anything beyond a certain point. It's like, what, 18 degrees up in here right about now.
It's 12 out here.
Oh, okay. Then you get it. You get it. All right,
definitely,
Mama.
Get it. Wait a minute.
Yep,
One more thing.
Okay.
Last time y'all were talking about the building, and I did not speak up. As you know, I'm living in really horrible conditions. And as a result, what little I was able to save from my home is in storage.
Okay.
The majority of what I was able to save was my over 6,000 book in-home library.
Oh, wonderful.
Y'all get that building together, and you already have a library.
Oh, my gosh.
I have some books that you can't find anymore. I even have books that mention how to find books that you can't find.
Wow.
Anymore.
Wow.
That's the 2-volume books that I've got. Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, Ivan Van Sertima, Renoko Rashidi, Queen
wow.
Mother Moore. You name it, I probably have it in my library.
Wow.
So I didn't want to make that commitment until Spirit moved me to do so. I've offered it to several people, and they haven't followed through.
You're up to bat.
Ashe, Mama.
Ashe, well, Santa Sana, for sure. Well, you know me. You know what we do. We going to do it. Ain't no doubt about it. It's a rumble, but it's okay. It has to be what they call a teachable moment. And so what's happening is the community is now getting some valuable lessons. First of all, you're seeing some serious folks that ain't seen for quite a while, because folk will come together but not to really obtain something for us that is going to be completely done by us. And so they're now seeing it, and they're seeing the consistency of that. They're seeing the tenacity of that, and also a plan of action in terms of how we would raise our own monies as well. You know, there's quite a few, you know, celebrities in Philly, and I'm not going to go on to that right now, but I'm saying we already know what to do to make the moves. It's just a now forcing the city to, you know, to release the deed or whatever it is. So, you know, it's a process, but we ended up winning it. So, but Mama, we thank you so much, because that, you know, the building is beautiful. I mean, it is a library, and when you go in, that's what you see. The shelving is perfect. It's hardwood. It's all right there. You know, the floor needs to be done and the roof needs to be done. But the walls, primarily, the shelves, it's already, you know, structured for books. It's already there. So we certainly appreciate it. Wow.
It also comes with 27 shelves per bookcase.
Wow.
So,
well, we, you know, we got to do
my time. I'm getting close to my time, and I'm wanting to make sure that things are maintained and sustained, and we still have information that is hella hard to find anymore.
Oh, my gosh. And this is that was one of the reasons why we were so, you know, definite about doing it, is because we have people in our communities, elders, as a matter of fact, where we witnessed, you know, their information being thrown out. We had a doctor here that taught etymology at Temple, the Pan-African Studies Community Education Program, Dr. Burton. And he was incredible. And the stuff that he taught, you couldn't get it anywhere. He passed, and his children, I think maybe he had one child, and they, you know, they wasn't into none of what he was into. And so when they cleaned out his apartment, the stuff was thrown out in the trash. People were walking, and I didn't know that. I was told people were walking by picking stuff out the trash. So this is why we said we have to be able to safeguard our history, our culture, and make sure that those who don't have family members, you know, to look after their things, that there's a safe place for them to, you know, to make sure it can go, and that it would be independent. So you are just so right on time, as usual.
I have also a video library. I don't have the equipment anymore, but I still do have the videos. I even have the videos from the when the bomb was dropped on Moon, and the conference video, the panel of commission.
Bob DePaul and the commission.
I have those. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I have those. And then I have a movie, a black classic movie collection. As I said, I don't have the players anymore. They got left. But I still have those movies, Buck and the Preacher, Three the Hard Way, Cornbread Earl and Me, Max Julian's, where's the one where he used to rob the rich white people and give everything to the blacks and Turtle Islanders? Thomasine.
It sounds like Robin Hood. But I know that the name wasn't that, but
that's basic idea. Thomasine and Bushrod.
Right.
I have a pretty good library and black classic collection, Stormy Weather, and other films from back during that time, and some of the first brother that was a successful black filmmaker. What's his name? There's a book about him, thick hardback. About 300 pages.
Wow.
You wouldn't even think there would be that much from that far back. But there are.
Wow.
There
All
are.
Right. And again, Mama,
so,
we'll definitely be in touch with you about that.
I definitely want to get some brothers and sisters together in a truck and come and get my things before I'm not here and there's nobody to give them to you and the crackers throw them out.
Wonderful. All right. Give thanks, Mama. We'll definitely be touching base with you on that and getting it ready.
And get a good copy machine. Make the library a non-lending library. Somebody wants information out of a book, copy it and give them the copy.
I got you. That's right. Ashe. All right, Mama. We got you. Good thing.
I yield for real now.
All right. Good thanks. All right, family. Wow. We just got our first contribution, donation. See, that's what we're talking about. You know, we know that if we continue to do the work that we're supposed to do, the ancestors will definitely come through. And so Mama Condi just demonstrated that for us and did so grandly at that. We are certainly appreciative. All right, we're going to move right along. It seems like Brother Herschel is now in queue, and so we're going to talk with him and, you know, really kind of tune in, as I said again. A lot of times there's so many things going on, but the masses of our people do not get the opportunity to know what some of these things are. In most cases, this kind of information that you're getting ready to hear now, you're not going to just hear it, for the most part, just in general. Many don't know that in 2010, the African Union declared the decade for African women. Many do not know that right now we're in the decade for African people, which will end next year. And so we're going to talk to Brother Herschel about some of the things that's going on in the international circles, particularly how it affects us here in the U.S. Some of these things are very important. Some of these things can really benefit us. And you all know information in itself is generally going to be helpful. And so we're going to bring Brother Herschel in now to tell us about what just happened in December with the assembly that took place in Geneva. Why is any of that significant for us? All right, because a lot of people say, ah, well, you know, so what? You know, they're doing that stuff. That you know, what does that mean for us? Well, guess what? Yeah, do, or it can. And we need to see how some of this can benefit us. At least know, at least be able to make that decision for yourself. But usually, again, information is withheld intentionally. And these folks in Philly, let me tell you, they got that down pat. So we're here to make sure that we get that information circulated widely to our people on whatever level they are. No more of this elite stuff. Y'all are only one that gets it. No, that's not happening. Anyway, let's go to our live line and let's bring in Brother Herschel Daniels, who, of course, is the founder director for the Friends of Africa. And again, family, in this day and age, we really need to know what's going on in a wider scope on a global level as it pertains to us. So let's talk to Brother Herschel. Hey, Brother Herschel, glad you were able to finally get connected with us.
Yeah, I was listening to y'all with the Queen Mother, okay, elder that you were talking to. And it was so good in the vein of Rosa Parks, okay, whose day of birth is today. Okay, I give greetings to all of you in the upcoming Commission on the Status of Women's 67th meeting in New York. And I also give honor to my mother, who is no longer with us, and those who have gone before. Okay, and so for those of you, because you gave birth to a race of leaders, okay, and we are honored to be here with you, who has led a million women in March and has not been honored by that. And I now, because I am in the United Nations and because we are in consultative status in our partnership, say to you that we hope that you can join us on March 6th in New York. Okay, because we would like the United Nations to give acknowledgement and to you for your work. Okay, and so to that end, you'll be receiving this week a formal invitation to the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women 67th meeting at our events in New York at the United Nations headquarters.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm really pleased to hear that. You know, I have been there a few times, more than a few times, actually, but certainly to get an invitation from you, Brother Herschel, is definitely important because, again, particularly with our brothers, the Million Woman March, and correction, 2 million, the Million Woman March has not gotten its just dues, and we're going to make sure that changes starting this year. And again, you know, I'm very pleased and really surprised, to tell you the truth, to get this invitation, but very thankful. So certainly greatly appreciated. But with that said, before we go any further with your report, you mentioned, of course, the Commission on the Status of Women. Could you just share briefly what that is? Because, see, again, you and I and others, we have these kind of conversations, but a lot of our people really, they have not been given the opportunity to be acquainted with these kinds of yearly, annually kinds of things, but also the various things that oftentimes have an impact, if not directly, indirectly, on policy, on other kinds of interactions, on both international but also a national level. So could you just share a little bit about what the Commission on the Status of Women is? And before you do, I want to share with everyone, this year, as a part of the Million Woman World March, you will see and hear what we've put together. Actually, starting next month when we do A Million Black Women Rising in Daba, we'll be introducing the Commission on the Status of African Women North America. That's us. That's MWM, because we want to make sure that we're represented as African women, as black women here in the U.S. So we will be introducing in March our Commission on the Status of African Women North America. But Brother Herschel, please share, what is the commission as from the U.N., what is the Commission on the Status of Women?
All right. So first, my name is Herschel Daniels, Jr. I'm with Friends of the African Union. And so when I was called back to service in 2011 by Ambassador Ali, the first ambassador from the African Union, the only aspect that I knew that had not changed was the United Nations, right, that was created in 1945. And in the United Nations, one of the operations of the UN General Assembly is the UN, women. And the UN Women, 67 years ago, gave birth to an annual meeting called the Commission on the Status of Women. So it's an annual meeting of women throughout the world, over 12,000 and maybe 14,000 this year, of women who meet annually to advance the cause of women. And some 27 years ago, they met in Beijing, and they issued a guidepost that we're operating under for moving forward the women's agenda. And in moving forward that women's agenda, there has been milestones throughout that. And in this particular year, if you go hashtag CSW67, you will then find out all about the meeting that is upcoming in March 6th through the 16th in the United Nations. That's a long period, It's a long period for them to give over 10 days at the UN headquarters. So at the UN headquarters for 10 days, seized by women, with a priority theme this year, innovation and technology change and education in the digital age for achieving gender equality and the empowerment of all women and girls, And so that is the theme that we're all meeting on. Now, what happened several years ago is that they created for us men who support our women a he for she program, all right, so that people like our organization, RFAU Women in 2013, started participating about a decade ago in the United Nations Permanent Forum of People of African Descent. We started participating in the CSW. And so in this decade of work is now culminating with this innovation and technological change in education in the digital age for achieving gender equality for women, the 850 million women who are part of the Permanent Forum of People of African Descent in the United Nations. So this is going to be a seminal meeting. This is going to be the first CSW in this year in which black women all over the world have an organization that is representative of them, that works in coalition in the 193 member states of the United Nations. And so when I say that you and that, as you said, the 2 million women that you brought together, this is a seminal year in bringing those women together in the United Nations. And you play, I think, a crucial role in the facilitation and preparation of those women for the leadership that is upcoming over this next year as we do this work. And so I wanted to make sure in this year in which South Africa is the chair, Okay, the African States Group is the chair for the 67th session of the Commission on the Status of Women. In other words, there's a five people who are the chair of this meeting, and the leader of this is she's from South Africa, okay, representing the African States Group. And there's the Western European and other states, which includes the United States. She's from Germany. And then there is the Eastern European States Group. And they chose a man from Latvia. And then the woman from the Latin American Caribbean Group is from Argentina. And then from the Asia Pacific States Group is from Mongolia. Okay, and this is a work that they are coming together in a provisional work that we've been participating in. Okay, and it will, on March 8th is the commemoration of the International Woman's Day. And that on that day is the launch. And that's what one of the things we wanted to talk to you about is the permanent form of people of African descent in the civil society. And like I mentioned to you, the 850 million women who are black women from around the world. We now have one organization that represents all 1.6 billion black people in the United Nations for the first time. Okay, and it's also headed up by a black woman who's the chair. Okay, and this happened December 5th to the 8th. And I apologize in terms of, you know, I've been sending you the emails behind this, but one of the things that has happened in my recovery from my quadruple bypass heart surgery last year was mm-hmm. getting everybody on track to understand, because, you know, we lost one of our main contacts with your organization. His death, has not been replaced in my organization yet. So mm-hmm. I have just now brought up our lead delegate, to the Commission on the Status of Women, and she'll be in contact with you this week to establish the relationship between the organization and on an ongoing basis. Okay, mm-hmm. And so we look forward. Oh, and in your Philly march to get to library, mm-hmm. one of the things we are an architecture firm, an engineering firm. So if you need to help, I volunteer to provide the help, because we bought our own building, as you may know, before the pandemic. And the pandemic ceased work on that, And so we would be glad to give you help, if you need it, in moving this forward as part of our he for she. Again, I'm saying it's in the age of the theme of innovation and technology change and education in digital age. And from what I heard, the collection that you have ready-made, to go into that building is right up what we would want to be able to be supportive of our mm-hmm, people's mm-hmm. history. Because we launched that in the United Nations in terms of our true history, to talk about the 2013 when we met with Africa in the United Nations. A decade ago, I brought up the issue of the Arab slavery, from the 7th century to 1962. Over 20 million Africans, were enslaved and sent to the Arab and Indian lands during that period of slavery. And so, when we talk about the history of how it all came about, and how we have institutional racism here, and et cetera, most people don't know that the whole reason that George Floyd became an international issue was that Africa responded to our cry, When the sister screamed that on that day, Remember, we would not have known about George Floyd unless that brave young sister screamed.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. We would not have known. Okay. And, you know, they say a picture is 1,000 words. And, well, the video, it was 1,000,000 words. Okay. And with that, we were doing in the United Nations that day, okay, Africa Week, a new Africa Week. And so we called out to the African Union. We cried out to them. They responded. You know, they responded on the 29th.
Yes.
They
yes.
sent a diplomatic note to the United States government that basically says, what's happening with our brothers and sisters over there? Okay. And more importantly, they didn't only send a note. When the Human Rights Council was meeting in Geneva, they partnered with us as nation states to create a block that overrode the United States. And that's how George Floyd's brother opened that session on June 17th. That's how, with that leadership, that nation leadership, okay, created a block that on June 19th at the close of the session at the Human Rights Council called for a report, okay? All right? And in that report, in the International Independent Expert Mechanism to Advance Racial Justice and that Equality in Law Enforcement is coming to the United States on April 24th through the 5th of May, okay? And it's going to be a country visit to the United States of America by the United Nations International Independent Expert Mechanism to Advance Racial Justice and Equality in the Context of Law Enforcement. Okay. See, the Biden administration, you know, the Trump administration fought it, didn't let them in the United States, and et cetera. The Biden administration on July of 2021 says, we're not afraid of our history. Remember, he had just come back from Tulsa, right? Okay, so he's not afraid of our history, yet, that our history is bad. And so, you know, that resolution, the George Floyd resolution in the United Nations, okay, Resolution 4721 of the Human Rights Council, right, whereas the Trump administration was afraid, the Biden administration opened up the United States for this to happen. Now it's up to us. It's up to us to respond. Okay. And so when I tell you the sister will be in contact with you, that's part of the record of Philadelphia. I told you I was going to put Philadelphia in the true history. I made you that promise years ago. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we now have an administration. Okay, that understands what it is to be a member of the United Nations and the world body. If you're going to lead, you can't just, okay, talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. Okay, and so our history, you know, we started in genocide. You got to understand why we started in genocide. Okay, you got to understand why we started in slavery. Okay, and that's what this whole fight is about for the AP studies for the African American studies. And so the United Nations, 193 nations, okay, not only celebrate women 67 years ago in an annual meeting in 2021 for us black folk, and okay, around the world, and okay, August 2nd, 2021, they voted at the General Assembly. Now, people, you have to understand, this isn't just the African Union, the member states, the 55 member states of the African Union. You know, my organization is named after African Union because in 2012, after Ambassador Ali called me back to service, because I used to be a diplomat for Africa. I'm not a Pan-Africanist who was hoping to see the future of Marcus Garvey, but I actually was serving under His Excellency David Morrow, who was the senior honorary consul for the Republic of Guinea to the United States. And so in when I was called back to service, I didn't know anything about the African Union, because when I left, it was the Organization of African Unity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
And so, but now, in your age, in this age for your listeners, Marcus Garvey's dreams are realized on having one body to define one destiny. Okay, it's in the 193 member states of the United Nations on August 2nd, 2021, created the permanent form of people of African descent. And if y'all want to know more about this event that operationalized it, only thing you got to do is go to pfpad.africa. That's pfpad.africa. Permanent form of people of African descent. Okay. And so if you go to, and by the way, you heard me say .africa. You didn't hear me say .us, .com, .org. Okay, I'm most proud of the work that I did over 40 years ago, okay, at the International Telecommunications Union, saying that there needs to be a dot Africa. Well, it's in existence now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, all right, and so now when you go there, what you will find out is that on October 5th through the 8th in Geneva, that there was this meeting. Okay, and that at that meeting, when this organization in the United Nations that will meet annually, just like the Commission on the Status of Women, okay, will meet annually on the interests of people of African descent, okay, the United Nations permanent form of people of African descent. Okay, and it started operations on the 5th of December through the 8th of December for the public. Okay, and what we proposed on the 8th is that we create, our delegation was led by Dr. Abdoulaye, okay, and he's a Senegalese, and he's headed back to the U.S. and from Senegal. We just had a meeting with the World Conference of Mayors, and so it's late in it's early in his morning right now. Okay, so I was hoping to get him on the line. I've not been able to get him on the line, but he led our delegation to Geneva. Okay, and in Geneva, okay, there was a set of work that was laid out to operationalize the organization, all right, so that it will meet annually. For the first 4 years, it'll meet annually in Geneva for the first session. The second session will be held in New York in May, June of this year, okay? And then the third session will be held in Geneva and the fourth session in New York. And now people keep asking, well, why New York, not Africa? Okay, because this is the 1.6 billion people of African descent worldwide. Okay, it's not just the 1.3 billion people of the African continent. And it's the importance of the 4 days in the United Nations headquarters, right? That's the importance, the headquarters, all right? And the whole idea in Geneva, okay, and the mandate of this is to establish the permanent form of people of African descent, which will serve as a consultative mechanism for people of African descent and other interested stakeholders as a platform for improving the quality of life and livelihoods of people of African descent and contribute to elaborating the United Nations Declaration on the Promotion and Full Respect of Human Rights of People of African Descent, and that the modalities, format, and substantive and procedural aspects of the permanent form will be concluded by member states and observer states with further consultations with people of African descent. So this is our opportunity to organize this year around this, as Friends of the United Nations Permanent Forum of People of African Descent, which was launched December 8th. And for you and your group, as you said, to organize women in the United States, okay, around this and joining the other some 820 million women around the world who are members of this organization, okay, that was launched by not only Friends of the African Union, but the UNESCO Center for Peace, Sons and Daughters of Africa, and the World Conference of Mayors and other non-governmental organizations and professionals. Oh, and by the way, just for your information, in case you didn't know, Dr. Jeffries' surgery was successful, and he's in recovery. Okay. He had a heart surgery, and so I can appreciate it, seeing I had quadruple, but he had a heart valve surgery, and he's in recovery.
Well, this is like the third one, because Chief Elder Henry also had a double or triple bypass. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is a thing. Like I said, I had quadruple in June. Okay, and so the it is no joke, but mine was after 7 heart attacks and 8 stents. Okay, so it was it has been a quite a decade getting here, but we are here.
Wow.
Okay, we're here. We're still here. These elders are still here. We're still here.
I know that's right.
Okay.
I know that's right.
And you know, I'm fulfilling my word that. Bringing together when I created Friends of the African Union in 2012 with others on Martin Luther King Day. You know, I had to leave the UNIA ACL because it had to be more to create an alliance around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We could not have gotten the United Nations, all 193 nations, to vote. Okay, the majority of the nations to make it an acclamation. Okay, we couldn't have gotten it done as a nationalist organization. We had to get it done as a worldwide organization, okay, including the 40,000 Africans, okay, in Ukraine. Okay, so most people don't understand that in Ukraine, when it was part of the USSR, okay, was second only to Russia. Okay, and that they are a developed country that in that time offered to Africans, okay, educational opportunities during the Cold War, and that out of that over 40,000 Ukrainians were born, mates between Africans and Ukrainians, and that there's 40,000 of them. Who are in the country, who are citizens of Ukraine, including a member of parliament who is a Ukrainian army veteran, okay, who is their gold medal winner in 2020, the only gold medal the country's ever won in the Olympics. He won. Okay, right now he's in the battlefront with Russia. Okay, well, we lost track a couple months ago. I plan to get back with him over the next month, okay, if he's still alive, because he was targeted by Russia, okay, because he was last year, their disinformation campaign, he was focused in coming to America, and we lost track of him, and so when Ukraine spoke up in Geneva, they were shot down by China. Okay, because they made a mistake. They talked about their war. They didn't talk about the 40,000 Ukrainians of African descent. Okay, so it's geopolitics, folks. Okay, it's geopolitics. And the key that you should understand that today on Rosa Parks' day of birth, is one of the things that happened today in the United States, as I mentioned to you, is that we're having the United Nations come to the United States to investigate policing here, right? And so today, for and our brothers and sisters who are in Memphis, okay, that we held here in Cincinnati, a response to their call to action. Okay, mm-hmm. Understand that here in Cincinnati over two decades ago, with the original agreement between us as a class, the police as a union, the city as their employer, and the federal government and the Department of Justice and a federal court collaborative agreement. We're the originator. Okay, and so we responded today to the call to action for that. Okay, so that the submissions that will be submitted, just like they went to England and they did theirs, and the English government's like, oh no, that's not true. That's not true. Okay, but it's a matter with the Human Rights Council. In part, it's shaming the United States leadership, right? Okay.
Right, what that's right.
That's what the United Nations, people have to understand what the United Nations in the Human Rights Council is not a powerful body in itself, okay? But the shame of that, okay, the difference is that we as black folk are organization, the permanent form of people of African descent, was created by the United Nations General Assembly. Now, the most powerful organization in the United Nations is the Security Council, because it can order war on countries. Okay? It can order war, but there's five permanent members, and so it's usually toothless, because there's a fight between those five, and they can veto any resolution. But second most powerful is the United Nations General Assembly, the 193 nations of the world, which in certain circumstances can override the Security Council. And in this case, what happened in that powerful body created the permanent form of people of African descent. And so no longer do we just have the term. We here in America, we now have a stakeholder with our brothers and sisters officially around the world. Okay? That's what happened on December 5th through the 8th last year. And you know, President Biden on December 13th responded to that. You got to understand that whatever you heard about the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit was not the most important thing, okay? What was the most important thing is that he issued an executive order, okay? He issued an executive order that for the first time recognized that we black folk in the United States are part of the global African diaspora, okay? And more importantly, not only are we part of the global African diaspora, but that global African diaspora in the United States is made up of different people, okay? It's made up of Americans who are people of native African origin living outside the African continent and who have collectively described as constituting the sixth region of the African Union. Now, anybody who tells you that their African Union has created the sixth region officially under the Constitutive Act is lying. Okay? I'm just telling you the truth. Okay?
Right.
The African Union, member states of the African continent, tried to change its constitution to include nations that were led by Africans, people of African descent, but it's still seven votes shy. And so in 2005, they said, look, we ain't going to get that passed right now, but what we'll do is that we will define, a people of the global African diaspora is those people living outside of the African continent who support unity and the African Union. Okay, and so from that statement, you had people through 2012 lying, saying about the sixth region. It was the intent. Okay, there was a move to do that, but we couldn't get, we're seven votes shy to this day for changing the Constitutive Act. But in 2012, they held a global African diaspora summit at the assembly, the leaders of Africa, and they gave us five tasks. Okay, and last year on May of 2022, we responded that we had completed those five tasks. But the key is that we, as people of African descent, we now here in the United States have this organization in the United Nations that joins us all together. In other words, it leaps over the African Union, gives us the African diaspora in the United States, which the President of the United States on December 13th, remember I just told you it was December 5th through the 8th in the United Nations, on December 13th, he issued this document that, again, you haven't heard of. Just go and type in Executive Order space 14089, or go to our website at friendsoftheafricanunion.com. It's right there. And the policy said, we're going to recognize that black folk in America is made up of 30 million Americans who are descendants of American African slavery. Okay.
All right.
For the first time, it's policy. We're different than Colin Powell's people who are people of Caribbean slavery. Okay.
Right.
Who came to America. And so this document recognizes that. And then it says, hey, look, we're going to create a advisory council. That's what it's all about. President of the United States of America, executive order establishing the President's Advisory Council on the African Diaspora Engagement in the United States. And so the first thing that it says under the Secretary of State and the Domestic Policy Council and the National Security Council, the first thing it says, okay, shall advise the president, right? All right. And its implementation. The first thing it says is that we shall use Executive Order 13985, advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government. So you in Philly, this applies to you. Okay, and again, when I said we had bought that building before hand and was moving before the pandemic, okay, in Philadelphia, okay, so we're now moving back in and operationalized. That's why I said we could provide you that support as an architect and engineering firm. Disclosure, I own 25% of the company. Okay.
Oh,
right.
Wonderful. So, well, Brother Herschel, we're going to have to stop here. I see that Dr. Frazier is in queue. We need to get her in, but I will definitely be contacting you later this week to, you know, get more information about the March 6th and also about when you're coming to Philly and so forth and so on, so we can get this ball really rolling.
Yeah, I'm going to be right after CSW. I'll come back through Philly. From New York. I look forward to it. People, just go to pfpad.africa.org.info.biz, et cetera. It's
great.
All there. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you again, my brother. All right, family, well, you all heard it right here again. We're going to be doing kind of like some ongoing sessions to help folks become more familiar with what we're talking about. What does some of this stuff actually mean? We want to break it down to you in a way that you're going to really be able to absorb it and get involved. That's the key thing. We don't want you to just hear information. We want you to be able to get involved, to know what we're talking about, to know what we're doing, and also that you are an intricate part. That's the difference with us. We're not just trying to talk at you. We want to make sure that you have the capability to be involved and to know what it is that's really going on. So, Brother Herschel, thank you again. and I'll be talking with you later on this week.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
All right, family, we now have Dr. Gail Frazier coming in from, as our Chairman Fred often says, Chirac. But we also know, of course, we're talking about Chicago. Chicago is one of our sister cities. Over this past decade, we have, meaning MWM, we have selected what we call sister cities. These are cities that we have began to build with, that we're going to be taking different programs in. I'll be going to Chicago in a few weeks, I believe. We're going to wait till the weather gets just a little bit warmer, because y'all know if it's cold where you at, y'all know it's cold in Chicago. But anyway, Dr. Frazier is going to share some very important information with us, as well as some concerns. And I can assure you, whatever concerns our sister's going to talk to us about, they're going to be concerns of yours, too, because if it's not in your neighborhood, I guarantee you it's on its way. And we're talking about police and governmental terrorism, but also the pushing of, I'm going to let Dr. Frazier tell y'all, because when it comes to our children, well, y'all better get ready. Mama Gail told us this, but Chicago, they got it. And now our sisters and brothers are fighting what is now probably inevitable for public schools, mainly because, for whatever reason, black folks, y'all don't want to get organized. Talk, 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 but don't want to really get truly, truly organized. Anyway, let's go to our live line again, and let's bring in Dr. Gail Frazier in the house, and our sisters again. Chicago, Chirac is joining us. Hey, Dr. Frazier, how are you this evening?
Hi, how you doing there, my sister? God bless you, and thank you for allowing me to be on your program, and I thank God for the brother who was on. He gave a lot of information about the UN.
Yes.
And all of the things that's pertaining to us as African descent, and so really appreciate that. But yes, you're right. It's a lot of things going here in Chicago, both personally as well as the situation that you had just mentioned that's going through the whole United States, and I mean just throughout the land. So I don't know which one you want me to start with first, but, you know, whichever one you say to start with, that's what
well,
I go with.
Listen, so, sis, I'm turning the mic over to you, so whichever one you want to
okay.
start with is fine with me.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you afforded me this opportunity. I really appreciate it, you know, your reaching out, you know, because, again, this is a sister city, and, of course, we do support each other. So I guess
yes,
I'll start off with the situation pertaining to my son. That is
okay.
one of the main things, because we've been keeping up with a lot of different things that's been happening with the police force and, you know, just what
mm-hmm.
happened to Tyre Nichols and everything like that. And so I just briefly say that, you know, we really have cover our children. I mean, my son is an adult, but you know, this overreach of the police enforcement and all of that, you know, it's really impacting our people. And so just to make a long story short, you know, the fact is my son was asleep in a vehicle. He was with someone in a car. The person went into a residence, was primarily a white or some semi-white area, suburb of Chicago. And so he was asleep, and apparently, you know, the police officers, they claimed that they had gotten a call from someone, but he was asleep in the car waiting for the person to return. He had fallen asleep. And then the police officers came in, you know, came to the car, woke him up, of course, and, you know, asked for his license. Now, in Illinois, you don't have to show a license, but they asked for his license. And, of course, you know, people now are kind of afraid, especially when you're a young black male, you know, you are hesitant. But he gave his
mm-hmm.
license, and then after he gave his license, then they searched the car, and then the next thing you know, they took him out of the car, they threw him to the ground, and he also was saying, I can't breathe. And we had the opportunity, yes, we had the opportunity to see this when we went to the attorney's office, and they showed the body cam and everything like that, and he was screaming, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And then after that, you know, the thing cut off, and we couldn't see the rest of it. But, you know, of course, we were totally upset over the whole thing because, again, you know, it was uncalled for because he was not even driving the vehicle. And so, you know, at this juncture now, you know, we're, you know, have a petition that's going around, and we're encouraging people to just, you know, help support and sign off on it with us, because we want it to be known that you cannot continue to terrorize our young men as well as young ladies, you know, our sons and our daughters, realizing that this only contributes to the trauma that they're already experiencing and the trauma that we experience as people. And when you sit back and you look at the George Floyd, which was mentioned, and you sit back and you look at Tyre Nichols, you know, another young man, not too much older than my son, you know, not too much younger than my son, and you sit back and you sit, you know, see these things, and I'm saying I'm thankful to God that he's still here. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know how these things play out. And so, you know, again, you know, so we're really on the front line now, you know, really pushing back on this. You know, of course, they were white police officers. If I didn't say that, I am saying it now. They were Caucasians. And so, of course, you know, it's like, oh, what you doing in my neighborhood kind of thing. And so, you know, of course, they are very arrogant. You know, they were very arrogant. I went to the station myself to try to retrieve his property and everything. They didn't want to give it to me, you know, and all of these things that's unnecessary. And even his attorney, my son's attorney, was saying that, you know, that was uncalled for, you know, regarding the property being returned and so forth and so on. So I'm just pretty much just putting it out here because we cannot continue to allow this to go on. And, of course, this dovetails into what the gentleman was talking about previously, because that's something that we put in as well to the UN petition, just so that you know that, sis. We put something in relative to that to the UN, letting it be known about the misconduct of these police officers. And, of course, while I wouldn't say every police officer is not right, you know, of course I would never say anything like that. And we always want the good police officers, but unfortunately too many bad ones are the ones that get the notoriety as far as what they do to our people. And so we did. We sent something through to the UN, and as he mentioned, they will be here in the country, and we're looking forward to them coming to Chicago as well. And so, you know, we definitely want to put that out. So that's one thing I just wanted to put out there. You know, we have to continue to galvanize ourselves together and push back on all of these things that are happening to our people and the young girls and, you know, the abductions and all those kinds of things. We are a different class of people altogether. You know, all of the things that we have go through and have continued to go through, you know, this is just totally unconscionable. And we have to also understand the devil that we're dealing with, because sometimes, unfortunately, sis, we, you know, it's difficult for people to accept that people can be as wicked as they are. You know, I mean, you know, you just have this thing out there, and it's like, can a person really be that wicked? Yes. Who is it? Was it Maya Angelou that says, if somebody shows you who they are, believe them? You know what I'm saying? And so that is one thing that we have to really get to that level. So as our family, we are really concerned about this, you know, and we're, of course, trying to get any other assistance for him, you know, mental health and all those other kinds of things, because trauma is a serious thing. So, you know, we're trying to go through this thing, and we're, you know, we're going through, and we'll continue to do what we have to do to do the work that has to be done. That's what we do. We boots on the ground. And, of course, we realize our family is not exempt. It happens to all of our people on some level. Right. You know, and so that's why we have to keep pressing towards the mark. So that's one particular thing. And so I appreciate your listening audience.
Stop right there for one moment, Dr. Fink. I just want to do a little, I just want to add a little sidebar, because you said something and I had to, it sparked something. So 400 plus years, and I say that because if these people haven't shown us what they are about, what they do, what they're going to do, what they have done, I don't know when we're going to get it. See, I hear you. Once I was able to read and learn and hear and so forth, it didn't take me long. And then, of course, I actually saw some stuff, but I'm just saying we got to stop acting like this stuff just started.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
We can document. I mean, look at, and you're right here in Chicago. I'm
for St. Ida B. Wells. She had to leave Memphis. She had to leave Memphis. Look, she recorded. She documented hangings and things like
she
that.
She did, yes.
So,
of
yes.
course.
And then had to escape to Chicago. You see, my point is, we have a history, a recorded history of at least 100 years of what
absolutely.
People, 400 really, but
absolutely,
no. My point that I'm saying, my sister, is we have to skin, and I know, see, we are such a wonderful people. We really believe that people can change.
I'm telling you. I mean, that's the thing.
No.
That's the thing right there.
No.
That's the thing
Stop.
Right there, you know.
Stop. I'm telling you. Our ancestors are saying, look, y'all, look at all of what we've been through, all of what they've been through, and here we are today. This is not like a leopard does not change its spot. Now, don't get me wrong.
I'm telling you.
Like you said, I'm not saying that all – Well, maybe I am, so let me stop there.
Yes.
I don't want to get in more trouble, but no. I have expectation. I'm a faithful person. I believe in good faith and all of that, but
yes.
Not when it comes
to
white folks. I'm sorry.
Really, the thing that's so deep, it's not even about hating them. You just have to figure out. How can people, and then you have to even look at it and acknowledge, see, is there humanity? The bad thing about it is that when our people have been so traumatized by all of the centuries upon centuries upon centuries
of evil
and wickedness and everything, that we as a people have started to learn their ways. And as a result of learning their ways, you know, of course, use those weak, wicked things against our own people because of the trauma, because of the fear, because of all of the things that's embedded on the inside of us as far as the DNA is concerned. You know,
but,
and so, you know, it goes really deep.
Way.
Yes, ma'am.
But it's even deeper. Let me give you a simpler version. And this is why earlier what we talked about was that we are literally in the very near future, you know, we have one facility. It's not large. And, you know, we were just going to use it as an office space. But we've come to the point now where we have to look at educating our children. We can no longer.
Oh, yes, we do.
So my point is.
Without a doubt. Oh, please.
Right. So I'm saying, look, we have to now take action. And what I mean by that
is.
Yes,
we do.
Most are sending their children to the enemy at least five days a week.
Oh,
from
of course.
Five to seven hours a day. Right?
Isn't that the truth?
So what you just said was we're learning. Well, of course we're learning. Look, we're sending them from kindergarten or first grade to an institution that hates us.
Isn't that the person?
No, see, this is not logical. So you're
no,
right.
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
We are not only learning their behaviors, we are in anyway, y'all get
and
what
that's,
I'm saying
that's,
here. Yeah.
And that's where, you know, and that dovetails into the next discussion piece where we're talking about the comprehensive sex curriculum that has been unleashed upon the children and the young people in this country. You know, and
right,
I have
right,
to
stop
say
right
it
there.
Starts from
stop
the
right
head on down.
Dr. Frazier, wait, stop right there for one moment. Slow down just a little bit. I want you to say what you just said again, but I want you to say it a little slower. Because family, I want y'all to listen very carefully because this is actually happening. A curriculum has actually been introduced and is being placed. Now, they're fighting it, but I'm going to stop. Just say that part just a little slow, and then please proceed.
Okay. The Comprehensive Sex Education Curriculum. It's a Comprehensive Sex Education Curriculum. And this Comprehensive Sex Education Curriculum is anything that you can possibly think, pornographic, pedophilia, alphabets, LGBTQ, and all of these other things, they have implemented them in the curriculum of the children from K through 12 grades, okay? And at each grade level, each stage, they have a specific thing that they focus on. And behind, of course, in the, when the children are in the classroom, they're being indoctrinated into that culture. It's called gay grooming. And so they indoctrinate the children into that and have the children confused as to whether or not they're male or female. And, you know, they got the non-binaries, which mean today you might be a female, tomorrow you can be that. They're encouraging the transgenderism and all of this. And it is it's totally infiltrated the schools. And so now, as a result of that, the books, they're graphic. Many of them are graphic, showing how, you know, two men can be together or two boys, because it's not really men. Two boys can be together, two girls can be together. They show various forms and acts, that sexual acts, I would say deviant acts, because, I mean, I'm an adult and married and everything, and a lot of the things that they show on that stuff, I wouldn't even do, okay? And so I'm just telling you. And so the thing is that they're indoctrinating our children, and we know that it's designed to come against the family. That's one thing, destroying the children, of course, but destroying the family concept, you know, and reproduction and all these other kinds of things, and they're pushing it. And so the governor signed off on it, and of course, but the thing that, this is the thing, Sister Doctor, let me tell you, the way they have it implemented, and this is the thing that people have to be very, these devils are very crafty and cunning, okay? And so when they write in their jargon and everything, they make it seem as if it's some type of humanitarian thing that they're doing, you know, that, yes. You know, they'll couch it and say, well, we want to come against bullying and we don't want people to feel a certain way and this and that. So they put this stuff in here. And if you look in the document, especially for Illinois, it used to have in there about family life. They drew a line through that and put down LGBTQ. So that just tells you right there, bam, we're not thinking about family life. We're thinking about this. And this is what they're trying to produce. And I had sent you a picture to your phone, and I'm sure you got it, where they're showing a transgender doll, looks like a female, and it's a black doll, by the way, if I can say, with a penis, a female-looking doll with a penis. And the cover child of this sex agenda thing is a little black girl. She looks like she could be in middle school, and she's sitting up there in some type of semi-provocative setting, you know, that seems inviting. You know, and they're using the children like this. And so this is an extreme thing. We are saying for parents in any kind of position to pull their children out, okay, because this thing is definitely, especially in these liberal democratic states, you know, and I know black folks love the Democrats, but the bottom line is the Democrats in terms of, and I'm not a Republican, so nobody can get on me about that either, but I'm just saying they are really serious about this thing because they put it down and say, well, we have to be concerned about everybody and this and that. We don't hate anybody. That is not an issue of hate. But the bottom line is that we do not want our children indoctrinated into a culture. And the fact is that when children are supposed to go to school and learn, you know, they can't read. Many of them can't read. And if Sister Dr. Empress, if you look and see the statistics, I'm sure you have, you'll see that the majority of the children here, in particular, black, are lower than others, you know what I'm saying? Academically, they can't read. A lot of them can't write. They're not on grade level, but they sure can learn about the LGBTQ curriculum. They sure can learn about that. They sure can learn about consent. They're teaching the kindergartners about consent. How is a kindergartner going to consent to some sex or any kind of thing? So the point is that it's terrible the way it's written. And so what we've been doing is doing forums, letting the parents be known, you know, made aware of this. And as a matter of fact, parents would even come back and confirm and say, well, this is what I found in my child's book bag. This is what, and then they tell the children not to tell their parents. So you see, it's some real sinister stuff here. In addition to this, they have on the package, you know, they sent home to the children, they say, well, the parents can opt out. And you know, a lot of parents are not thinking about opting out. They don't know anything about this kind of stuff because you're not telling them anything. But anyway, they say the parents can opt out, which means that the parents can sign off, and they say that their children won't be able to participate. Okay, so that means if they can opt out, these children will go somewhere, but it's not going to change the fact that when the children come back in the classroom, they still got to deal with the situation in the classroom. And then my question becomes now, what happens to the children of the incarcerated? Who's going to opt out for them? So you see, it's a sinister plan. It's evil. It's wicked to the core. And they're trying to destroy our children. They're targeting our children. So it's kind of like, you know, we have to make some serious decisions, as you had already said, to make some serious decisions about how and what we're going to do pertaining to our children, because we don't want to have them in a state. They're so innocent. They don't know. And I'm talking about the little ones, the older ones too, of course. But I'm saying when you think about the indoctrination, people send their children to school and the children, they trust their teachers. You know, they trust that they're going to learn. They trust, you know, and all those kind of things. But the stuff that we're getting now is that, yeah, we see what they're learning. And the public schools and even some private schools, you know, have bought into this because it's a state law. You know what I'm saying? It's a state law. So right now they're saying, okay, you can opt out, but what's going to happen next year? Because in England, they already had said, for the ones in the UK, is that they can opt out now, but next year it's going to be mandatory. So you see this push to this evil culture, this push to destroy the children and change them and that we won't even know who they are. Okay, and then it doesn't help it when you have movie stars having their children's sex changed and so forth and so on and saying, we're proud of our child now being this. It's like, really? Really? So you see where we are. You see where we are. It's like, what are we doing? What are we allowing to be done to our children? Where is the outrage? But, you know, folks go along. Folks, because what they tell you, what do they tell you, sis? You just don't love. Oh, if you love, this is how they psych us out. Have been psyched out, duped, bamboozled for over 400 years. That you speak out on something, then it's like you don't love. Well, the bottom line is because we love, we got to let it be known. And we can't draw back and become a bunch of cowards and be sucked into this trap that's trying to destroy the children. I'm telling you, when it comes down to the children, you're going to have a serious – you know what I'm saying? Because we're supposed to – who else is covering our children? If we allow them to go into the den of Satan, what you think Satan is going to do to them? I mean, come on. Oh, man. Mm. So that's pretty much – what's going on, sis? It's terrible. Ooh. It's really terrible.
I want to give the family. I'm sure a few of you have some comments or thoughts about this. And remember, we're saying what adults do, that's their business. This is my position. Your business.
That's my point. That's
children,
right.
Children. We're talking about, and Tammy, did you hear what Dr. Frazier just said? It's going to be mandatory, meaning right now you can opt out, right? Now, y'all know how that go. But to have this be a curriculum in
OMG, as they say.
I'm telling you, and let me tell you, they have monies tied to it. You know, like you get monies. You get money if the schools will get monies if they have developed programs that's going to promote this all the more. You know how they do. You know, it's like, okay, if you do this, we're going to give you $1 million. I'm just throwing out $1 million because I don't know how much they'll give them. But it's special incentives. So naturally, you know, the schools don't want the incentive. So it's like, okay, and they'll apply for the grant or whatever. They may not even have to apply for the grant. They may just send it to them. So you see, this is how serious this is. We cannot in any wise sit back and be complicit in something like that. And for individuals to think that it's not a big deal and think that I'm boosting it, okay, when you see what happens to the children, then you get a revelation of what's really going on. I'm not ignorant of what's going on. I see the stuff, okay? And so I'm not going to sit up here and try to pretend as if this stuff does not exist. It exists, and it's right in our faces right now because they don't care. The people, the administrators, so forth, the ones who are putting these things in, they don't care, and they definitely don't care about our children. That's the reason why they're really pushing this thing. And this is what's causing so much destruction and havoc. Our children are confused. When you have them coming home saying that they don't know what they are, it's like, really? Come on.
Wow. Herschel just text me. He has an excellent comment. I'm going to bring him back in a few moments. I want to go to caller at 6025 first. 6025, your mic is open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Hello, how you doing, Empress Chi? This is Brother General Parker.
Hey, General Parker. Hey, General Parker. Oh, gosh. How you doing,
hey,
General Parker?
Well, you know, for an old ugly man, I can't complain. But, you know, I was originally came on here to tell you about how psyched up these people are to know that you're going to be speaking at the university and stuff on the podcast. But what this sister just got through talking about is so near and dear to my heart, because I fought for them issues or against them, however you're looking at it, for like the last 20 years, because I was going through a divorce. And I fought the family court. I fought the legislature there in Illinois and everything, you know. Madigan had put together a family law study group of researchers from around the country. And when they came back, they had came back with recommendations to keep the family together and give fathers more parenting time. But mm-hmm. the legislature and the women from the National Organization for Women, they fought us on that, the ABA, and they did everything they could to keep the dads out of the kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this
mm-hmm.
LGBT agenda that they were going after.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they still know me back there. I haven't been fighting there in about 5 or 10 years, but I go back there now. They say, oh, yeah, that's the family law guy right there. Oh, he's the toxic masculinity guy, you know, and all that, you know. But they will do everything they can to make sure a child knows all about being LGBTQ and whatever,
oh, yes.
you know. But they don't care nothing about whether or not their child knows his father.
Absolutely.
It's terrible. It's terrible. That's what I said. It's about destroying the family. It's destroying. And you know that's one
exactly.
of the main things, too, because a lot of the men, of course, they'll put them in. They'll definitely lock them up. There's no problem there. They'll lock them up. And then so they think they can turn the children out. We're not stupid. I'm telling you. Some people may be stupid, but I know I'm not stupid. And I know some other individuals who may be listening are not stupid. I'm going to tell you, you'll play with the children. I'm serious.
Yeah, and they wanted to keep these mothers, and a lot of these mothers get this money, too, because when one of the representatives there who was a champion for us, he was fighting for us to get this law passed. He said, listen, you had the professionals tell you that these kids, in order to not face these social pathologies, got to have at least 35% parenting time with each one of their parents, at least, you know. If they don't have it, we're going to have all these pathologies. And then the other lawyer for the other side said, well, we can't let them get more parenting time with their dad, because if we do, we're going to lose a lot of money for food stamps and everything that we get from the federal government.
He said, I'm trying to get my people
off food stamps. What are you talking about? And they admonished our guy for saying he wanted to get the women off food stamps. They got on him. Because he don't want his people on food stamps no more. He wants them to prosper, but they want to keep my people, our people, in this perpetual state of dependency.
Of course, and you're right. You're absolutely right. Without a doubt, you know what you're talking about. I'm serious. We were trying to get
Derrick Rose. He was one of the basketball players that had his kids and all that, and took care of them and fought the mother for custody and all that. And Dwayne Wade was another one. But Dwayne Wade wanted to take that route and let his kid grow up to be a woman and all that other stuff, you know.
And I know he's going to have to pay for that, too. I'm going to tell you right now. He will pay for that. He may not realize it now, but he will pay for that.
Even want these kids to take all these gender reassignments and hormones, preventative shots and all this
Absolutely.
Other stuff. But they know if the dads
Absolutely.
Were in these kids' lives, the dads wouldn't go for that. That's why they were fighting to keep the dads out of these kids' lives.
I know. It's all by design, and that's why we have to wake up. We have to wake up. We have to wake up, because this is exactly what the enemy is doing, and this is another divisive plan and trap and pit. That they're trying to destroy the children. I mean, you remember the history of Adolf Hitler. He got the Hitler youth. He raised them up and groomed them very well.
There you go.
They were straight up killers after he raised them up. So what do you think these devils
That's
are
right.
doing? And the bottom line is, we have a lot of folks that look like us that's a part of this doggone agenda too. It's not just all of them. We got some in our group that's supposed to be us, but they with them. Okay, so it's not just a one-sided thing on that end. We got a some.
Oh, I know. I'll say it to a couple of them.
Please.
I know exactly how
I'm
they
serious.
Are. You know, we got too many that's trying to assimilate, you know. I even had a father the same way. He's so busy worried about trying to fit in. My ex-wife, my last wife, they even raised her up to come against me, and she's the county clerk now, they're in Peoria County, you know. They gave her that position. And I was the one, I mean, I had went through, I was a delegate for Obama. They used to have me on TV all the time there, and they said, this guy is going places. When they realized they couldn't control me, they used her against me and gave her that position.
And that's something. Wow. Ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. So you see, this is some heavy-duty talking today. This is some heavy-duty talking tonight because this is real serious. And see, you know, it's like when we dealing with something like this, it's like whoever gets cut by what's being said, let them be cut, okay? Because the bottom line is who's going to be the voice for the children? And I'm going to say I'm a woman of faith, and I'm saying I'm not going to have anybody's blood on my hands because I see the sword in the land, and I'm going to cry aloud and spare not. And that's just my position right now.
Uh-oh.
But now, truth be told now, it's a whole bunch of people supposedly of faith be doing the same thing now.
I know, but I'm talking about, I'm a faith for real. But let me say, I'm a faith for real. I study the word of God, and I try my best to follow it. I'm telling you, and I know what the end is for stuff like this. So that's what I'm saying. Okay. But I agree with you, what you said, though.
Yeah.
For real. You're telling the truth.
Yeah, that word
is right there.
Be not hearers of the word, but doers of the word.
That's right.
It ain't enough just to hear. They got to do it.
I'm going to bring Brother Herschel back in for a moment. He wants to share with us, apparently, a law parent. So let me have him to explain that. Brother Herschel, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Look, if you want to do leadership in this, you use the law, okay? So this is supposed to be a national law. So the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment is law, okay? United States Code 20 at 1232H, all right? And Federal Regulations, 34 Federal Regulations, Part 98, all right? And so this is your law for your issue. All right.
Okay, now you got to repeat that again, please.
He sent it. He texted to me, so I'll text it to you also.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
All right. So this is the Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment. It's U.S. law at 34 CFR Part 38. It's Code of Federal Regulations. Or United States Code 20 at 1232H. Okay, so unlike other federal laws, the aim is to protect privacy by limiting the disclosure or use of information that aims to protect students at the behest of parents. And as you mentioned, for those parents who are incarcerated, they can give guardian ad liberum for their children in terms of that. And so it protects against what you're talking about, but what you're going to have to do is the part that they're going to use to say the mental psychological problems potentially, okay, is because they've bought into the American Psychological Association, has bought into this, okay, is that you have to have in the utilization of peer-reviewed to oppose this. So you have allies in the 118th Congress in the House, okay, and you have a majority in the Senate if it really comes down to it, with Seneca choosing to be independent, okay, and so you've got the power. It's not about the rhetoric. It's about the law, okay, in force right now. Okay, use it, right? That's why it's there. Okay, and this has been the law that's been on the books for a while. Okay, and we don't use it. That's our problem with our leadership currently while I'm stepping out this year, is that the law's on the books for us to move forward. Okay, it's no longer saying about them people, what they've done. you know, we talk about the Europeans, we don't talk about the Arabs, okay, who did worse for Africa, all right? We don't talk about that. But in 2023, in the 21st century, we don't forget our history, okay, the 26 centuries that went before that. But let us move forward under, if they're saying that this is a nation of law, well, there you go. There's the law that lets you fight your fight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Frazier, you got it? I
didn't get it all, but you said you're going to send it to me, right?
Right. Yeah, I did. I sent it already in a text. The Protection of Pupil Rights Amendment of PPRA is a federal law that provides certain rights for parents of students regarding, among other things, student participation in surveys. Yep, I sent it to you.
Okay, great. And then I'll look at it.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Point number three, it says specifically sexual behavior and attitudes. Okay. It gets right down into it. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Point number three. All right. Thank you. Ladies, okay, sir. I am calling it a night. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Brother Herschel.
Thank you.
All right.
You always.
Wonderful. Okay. We got, hold on. Let me see who we got coming up next. Okay. General Parker, you still with us?
Yep. I'm still here.
Okay. We're going to bring in caller 9498. 9498, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Hello, Philadelphia.
Hey,
hello,
Ray.
Sister Filet.
Hey, how's my brother? New York in the house.
I wish the gentleman will have been listening last week when the brother from Mogadishu was talking about the hurricane and everything that's going on over
yes.
there. And I think we mentioned the African Union.
Yes.
You know, and the situation that's going over there. So, you know, I don't know what, you know. I want to ask him, what's the deal with the Asians? The Asians over there, and like he said, the Europeans is over there doing their stuff. Now you got the Asians and America jockeying for the position, you know, and the Democrats with this funny money stuff they're going full force, and this people don't seem to really care about it. They go like, they say like, everybody got somebody that got that alternative lifestyle in their family, so it ain't no big thing. It always been like that. That's what a lot of people say.
Well, you know,
it always been like that. So it's no, you know, like it's no problem because historically somebody always had somebody that choose or so, you know, they don't, you know, it's a big fight. And the Democrats, Democratic administration, you got the guy Booty Guess, whatever his name is, Booty, I can't even pronounce his goddamn name, Chump all the way. Stone Cold Chump. And the majority of the members in the Senate, some of them, stone cold. No problem.
But again, the difference, Brother Ray, is this is now going into the schools. Before, you know, what you did in your family, you know, that's what you did in your family. And even sometimes in the community, right? But this is a mandatory.
Being implemented. And look at the mayor of Chicago. I can't understand how the people of Chicago put her behind in office. And I really want to say,
yeah,
you know what, but I can't understand it, how they, how Chicago with the, and you got to look at Obama.
Yeah.
Because he had a lot to do with it, too.
He surely did.
Because Dr. Randy Short sure talks about it, and they are going full force. And you can say what you want to say about the Don, but the Don was going to say, uh-uh, ain't none of that stuff going on now. Donald Trump.
Oh, no, he wasn't. No, he definitely wasn't for that stuff. He
so,
wasn't for
you
that.
Know, I don't, this fight is so serious because now it's, you know, it's affecting everything, and this, and now you can't even, you can't go get into the school to do volunteer work unless you got the clot shot. So you can't even get in there and see what's going on and volunteer to unless you got the death shot, the clot shot, I call it.
Mm.
And like you said, those celebrities done took all that money, and I was just looking at the little black African kid that Madonna adopted.
Oh, wow.
And he running around with dresses and all kind of.
You see, that's
you know,
the whole thing right there.
Yeah.
It should be outrage over
I was just looking at it.
It should be outrage over all of this.
Yeah.
It should be outrage over this. That's what I'm talking about.
And they had pictures of them, and now people were just openly, you know, openly
yes, but see, there
doing
has
their
to be,
thing like
there
that.
There has to be. But the thing is though, this is the key right here. There has to be some visible a pushback on this. Okay, you know, I mean, it's like, we can't just sit back and just say, oh, well, everybody's doing it.
That's what they're doing.
I mean,
that's what they're doing.
I know that's, yes, but the thing is, I understand. But, the, you know, I'm just going to say, it's always a remnant that's going to push back on the stuff, you know, and it's not about anything, you know, any person in particular. Because like you said, I mean, people, they are who they are, you know, in terms of the lifestyles that they choose and so forth and so on. But when you're talking about indoctrinating the children, that is gone too far, you know. I mean,
exactly.
That has gone absolutely too far. And so this is why we're
exactly.
saying, and we, you know, we have to have structures and things in place to save our children. As a matter of fact, that's what we use, hashtag save our children. Then we say hashtag cry aloud and spare not. It's not as if, you know, when you get to a situation like this, it's not about trying to be friends. And whoever gets cut, they get cut. Because the bottom line is you got children, you got grandchildren, so forth and so on. It's like, it's no friends in this game here. You know what I'm talking about? When you're talking about trying to, you know what I'm saying? It's no friends
this
in this game.
This thing is going
you
full force.
You cannot destroy the children.
I definitely will. Sister Filet saw Nawel and Lyric down at the UN, so we definitely going to be rolling when they do the honor down there. I have them with me because she knows. My two grands roll with me, and I got two more, but I don't think I can handle all four of them at the same time. They run me ragged. But it's a fight. It's going to be a fight.
Of course.
You know, and I hope with all this stuff coming down with the Democrats and this and that, they don't seem to be stopping anything. And it's going
no,
on in Africa. Like it's going on in,
yeah,
it's going on in Africa.
Yeah.
Like, they threatening to withdraw money if you don't deal with it.
Of course, of course, of course.
What is
that's
the
African,
you know, what are they, what is the union, the United Nations saying about that from, I wanted to ask the gentleman, you know.
Well, you know,
so,
it's like Dr. Frazier said, they put it under the guise of you know, human or, What is it, Dr. Frazier? They're able
right, you
to
know,
structure
anti-bullying
it.
And this and that. And
right.
All. Yeah, that's what I'm
right.
saying. They got the legal folks to do that and this, you know, and everything. But we can't be ignorant of that. That's the point. And when you think about it, you have young parents, they don't understand about things like this. Young parents, what do they know about things like this? And so they're just being railroaded all together. So like I said, we're conducting town hall forums, and we will continue to do that so that at least parents can be made aware. They can make their own decisions, but they at least be made aware. And then after that, it's like, okay, we need to think of some other strategies for the ones who do not want their children in that set.
Something ain't right with that psyops happening down in Memphis, according to my brother from Baltimore, Darren Muhammad. This psyops that's going on now, they got another psyops going on where the police shot suspect in a wheelchair. And then all this stuff is starting to come down, and you got the same civil rights leaders like Sharpton, Crump. How come they always there, and what was he doing? And everybody jumping on the bandwagon, and out of the clear blue sky, this stuff is happening right along the time that 2024 is happening.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, a rash, and the wording is the same. I was reading, is the same wording, and they can't even pass a bill. They had control of both House and the Senate and ain't passed nay bill protecting the most unprotected people in the world. And they protect, they passing bills for, as he was saying, the LGBTQ got they bill, the Asian got they bill, they got a passing the bill for animals, and we can't
Native
get a bill passed. The first thing, the Boulay gatekeepers, and you know what kind of stuff behind that, they go, well, listen, black folks, vote for me so we can continue to work. While everybody get their bill passed, they say, vote for me so we can continue to work. That's all we get.
Speaking of that, Dr. Frazier, let me just throw this in for a minute. So next week
now you got all these black cops, so you can't, and I'm going to shut up, Sister Way. You got this situation with these, they done flipped it good, Soros and all these people done flipped it. I don't know how they pulled it off, but everybody's supposed to be mad, and they dying in Philadelphia and Brooklyn and Baltimore like 90 going north. So you can't say when the white boys start beating my head against the wall, you better not open up your mouth to my white folk, because they're going to say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Your guys did it in Memphis.
But see, Brother
exactly.
Ray, we already was acclimated to that truth, because remember, the bomb that was dropped here in Philadelphia was under the leadership of a black mayor. So we already was familiar with that game.
I done been down that road before.
That's right. So we already know how they stack that deck, and we'll intentionally kind of put some stuff in place. But let me just remind everyone, this is what I wanted to add as a sidebar. So next week for our program, Dr. Frazier, are you familiar with, candidate Green?
Green?
Yep.
Who's running for office here?
Yep.
For mayor?
Yep.
Candidate Green? No, we didn't have a candidate Green office. No, it wasn't a Green.
His name is Winman. Yep. In fact, he's very young, if I remember correctly. Well, anyway, he's going to be on next week.
You're talking about Jamal Green. Yeah, it had to play through my mind. The young brother, yeah, Jamal Green.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with him. Very, very much familiar, yes.
Okay, he's coming on next week.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's what he did an excellent showing when they had the debates here. He definitely he articulated very well. Yes, Jamal Green. Because I'm saying, who Green? But yes, you're talking about Jamal, yes.
Yes, Jamal Green. Yeah, I couldn't think the first name until you mentioned it. I knew
that
name.
Oh, yeah, that's sort of what it is, Jamal Green. When you say Green, I'm like, ooh. But yes, he articulated very well.
Think he will be a viable candidate to go up against the mayor, the present mayor?
Well, you know, the thing is, this is where the concern is that he's very good in terms of articulation and everything like that. The problem is you got one Caucasian that's running, one Hispanic is running, but then you got seven black folks. I think it's out of a field of nine or something like that, but you got seven other black candidates that's up there.
Wow.
So it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, Okay,
they
and
got
nobody's
the same
agreeing
thing
that,
here.
But you
same
know what I'm talking
here.
About then.
Yep. We
yeah,
have
you know what I'm talking
three city council people resigned so they can run for mayor. And they black. You got one Asian, you have one Latino, and two whites.
Yeah,
five
see,
blacks.
That's what I'm saying. So you see.
So, that's right.
About,
so
you know, you figure.
All the black votes go to the black people. That leaves it wide open for the white ones.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you see, this is what we have in. So it was one brother who had gone on Facebook Live to try to encourage somebody to drop out so that we can get, you know, the support behind somebody. But folks holding firm to that position. You know, and then
oh,
some
yeah,
people say
you know they get paid for that. Some of them get paid
yeah,
for that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
what somebody was
oh,
saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know they're getting paid for that, you know. So that's it. Yeah, but J-Maw, he articulated very well, and he definitely has the ears of so many people and the young people just, you know, but in terms of how it's going to split in terms of that, you know, because, you know, here in Chicago, the population of the blacks has started to dwindle. Because folks
right.
being run out
too.
Of town, you know. And
yep.
so the thing is,
yep.
is now you divide that by the number that's running. And so you see, you know, you got one white guy, one Hispanic guy, and then, of course, the sitting mayor. But the key is that the sitting mayor has to leave. They got to get her up out of there. She cannot remain there. So it's like, you know, what can you say? But you got all these people running. So, oh, boy, what can I say, okay?
They already know how to stack the deck, y'all. That's
but,
what we
don't say.
But let me ask a question. How many of those blacks in Chicago is connected to that Obama machine? See,
that's,
I liked it.
Well,
I did like that guy, Chewy, because he ran before, and he was a better candidate, Chewy.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yes,
the Latino
was.
Brother was a better – he was a better candidate.
Mm-hmm, okay.
But how many of
he
these
was.
They could have been members of the Boule connected to Jesse, connected to Obama, that Oprah
yeah.
Winfrey mob down there.
Yeah,
so they might not
yeah,
be worth
yeah.
2 cents either. But I did like Chewy, and I couldn't understand how they didn't vote for Chewy. And they got this, whatever her name is, and what she doing, it's – oh, it's disgusting.
Well, see, remember, she did get the predominant LGBTQ. See, remember, the blacks didn't turn out a lot for her. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the votes came from the LGBTQ community. You know, she had gotten some votes from the blacks, you know, who say they wanted to see a woman in office. But the reality was is that the majority of the votes for her came from that community. She had a very strong showing from that community.
Well, how much LGBT? They probably got a heavy LGBT mob just like in New York, and the Democratic Party is pushing that bad boy to the hill.
Yeah, see. Mm. So here we are. That's what I was going to say. You know what I'm saying? Here we are. And the thing is nobody's bashing anybody. We're just telling the truth. That's all. You know, but a lot of times when you tell the truth, folks think, oh, you're not being nice. And that's something
well,
that we have to learn to get over. You know what I'm saying? We got to get over that.
If you study Steve Coakley laid it down what was going on in Chicago.
Yes, he did. And we're going to
oh, yeah, bless his soul.
In a couple of months. Yep. In April, we'll be doing something on Steve Coakley. Yes, indeed.
That's great. That'll be wonderful.
Oh, wow.
So,
well, listen, family, we got to get ready to close out. Dr. Frazier, please let folks know how they can get the petition or, you know, the document that we are asking people to sign in support of holding these police people accountable. How can they get that?
Well, I can give the email address.
Yes.
Frazier, Frazier.
Mm-hmm.
GALE 57 at gmail.com. I'll say it again. Frazier, Frazier, Gale,
mm-hmm.
GALE 57 at gmail.com. And so if anybody reaches out, then we'll make sure that that petition gets out because, again, like I said, we're really battling and we're really pushing to try to make, you know, make a difference, not just for my son, but for other people's children that's going through, young or old, you know, we love them all, and we don't want them to continue to be targeted by, you know, these individuals who seem to have no control.
Okay. And family, you can also email me at nationalmwm at AOL.com. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have my email address. And also, of course, Empress Chi 7777 at gmail.com. Again, Empress Chi 47777 at gmail.com. And that way, you know, either way, you will get the document because I have it also. All right, family. Well, listen,
thank you.
Going to close out. Absolutely.
Wonderful
absolutely.
Program. Wonderful program. Appreciate everybody. Thank you so much, my beloved sister. And we're looking forward to you coming to Chicago. Don't forget to give me the information so that we can make room for you to do whatever we got to do.
No doubt about it. You know, and with that said, last but certainly not least, one of the last times I was there, we brought the state of emergency, which focused on the issue of the violence and abuse of our women and girls and family. I'm telling you, this was before COVID when we did that. I haven't been back since then, but this I remember now. I had just come back from Chicago, and COVID kicked in. But my point is that the numbers that we are now seeing from Chicago and really all over the country with our missing women and girls, murdered women and girls, it is unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Family, we have got to do something. So when we go back to Chicago, that's going to be one of the main issues that we're going to be looking at, and this time bringing the action plan. We had it then.
Yes,
we couldn't
yes.
implement it because right after I came there, COVID went into effect.
Right.
We couldn't do it. So now we are ready to go to the next level. So, family, you get ready to come that way, y'all, okay? But listen, we're going to close
Thank
this
you
session
so much.
Out. Oh, you're so very welcome. So, General Parker, you got some closing comments for us?
It was a wonderful, powerful segment you had tonight. And I just want to tell everybody, don't give up. Even though it looked like a lot of people ain't standing up, a lot of times people are standing up. But because we don't own the media, then
right.
a lot of times we get shut down and we get shut out. So we need
that's
venues
true.
Like yours to get the word out because the mainstream
the
don't allow us to speak a lot of the time. So and we get bullied and everything else, even though they accuse us of being the bullies. They'll shout us down and everything else. So,
right,
so
right.
hang in there and it's going to turn. Don't look for the Republicans. Don't look for the Democrats to help you. They're
Absolutely.
Both two different sides of the same coin. You know,
that's
we
right.
got to do this for self. So
telling the
that's
truth. Right. There you go.
Well,
I love
you
all. I'm getting ready to get off. But thank
all
you
right,
so very
sister.
Much again. And I look
You're
forward to the next time,
welcome.
Okay?
Absolutely.
All right. God bless
Brother
you.
Ray, you got some
okay,
closing
bye-bye.
Comments for us? Peace to you, sis.
No, I don't have anything, but I'll talk to you later. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you.
No,
that's Girl, Brother
Chicago,
Ray, you...
Chicago is a hot spot. Big Boule over there. New York is a hot spot. The gentleman was talking about the conference of mayors where all of a sudden they got black folks claiming that they got black political power, but they all puppets for Soros, Bloomberg, and they actually got us thinking that it's black political power going on. So a lot of these psyopses is all of a sudden clear blue sky. These shootings are starting up. Now you got white folks protesting and people hitting the streets like they can about what happened. Well, where were they before?
Right.
So the Conference of Mayors is flunkies for the globalists, Soros, who according to, I was just reading a book by Darren, Dope Incorporated, we're talking about he's the one behind the legalization of marijuana, and all of a sudden you hear it again. Defund the police. Defund the police. you know.
Yeah. Well,
and Chicago Rahm Emanuel, Chicago, well, Chicago Rahm Emanuel, Ezekiel Emanuel, Obama's friends. So is these three black candidates connected to them? I bet you they are. Because you know that y'all got a tough time over there. And what role is the Daily still playing? Them Irish boys ain't out of the mix. Not by a long shot.
You know, here's a sidebar of trickery. So I was reading a report the other day. They had a press conference in Baltimore. And I got to get back with Sister Tawanda also. But what they got now in Baltimore is they're claiming this new rise, I guess, in violence. And they're claiming that they don't have enough police to really respond to the type of, you know, the increase of violence there in Baltimore. So what you're going to see in different cities now is – because, you know, some of the cities are saying defund the police, defund the police. So what they're getting ready to put out there now is they're going to make sure that this visible crime thing increases. And then they're going to say, well, you know, see what's happening already? And y'all talking about defund the police. And they're saying now in Baltimore that they need more police. And here's the click part. They literally had citizens on the camera saying how they felt unsafe, how they, you know, be walking down the street and they, you know, they don't know what's going to happen, and that they really, this is the black folks, this is the citizens. The citizens now.
Yeah, but you don't see nobody, beating up no Arabs. And he told me, nobody says nothing about the Arab slave trade. You don't see nobody beating up no Arabs. Only black people still getting beat up is us, and they say, well, vote for me so we can continue this work. And other people done got every bill passed that you could think of. They even got a bill passed protecting bees that make honey. But they tell us, and you got them Boule civil rights leaders, we have to continue the work. So keep us in office while we are suffering and crying in the street. Okay.
Well, we're going to be introducing at least some thoughts, some possibilities or something. For those who haven't registered yet, your pre-registration for the rest of the month, February 28th, for the, of course, Queen Mother Moore weekend here in Philly, and some of it will be virtual. Of course, it will kick off on Queen Mother Moore's Earth Day, July the 27th. The lineup is starting to look incredible. We'll give you more information next week on some of the other people that are signing up to be presenters, but it will take place here in Philly, July 27th through the 30th. Queen Mother Moore weekend. One of the things that we'll be bringing to this session is our first pre-plebiscite session. And going back to what Brother Raymond was saying, one of the things we're going to be proposing is, as we proceed in bringing the issue of gentrification to the conference, but also into our dialogues, one of the things that we're going to also talk about is, what do we want in terms of reparations? Now, we know that some folks are saying, you know, just a check, and that's cool, but we're also saying we want property and land. And one of the things we need to be looking at with that property and land is what we call, drum roll, Black Restoration Villages. That's right. Black Restoration Villages. So that means some blocks can be designated as part of reparations, because remember, ours is R4J. The last part of the R4J is restoration. So it's reparations, restitution, retribution, and the last one is restoration. So here's my point. We keep talking about these problems, right? Why can't we have our own township or county, or let's just start with a village, Restoration Village, where we own and operate 3, 4, 5 blocks.
Now, that's nothing new. You know, Tulsa and others, unfortunately, we know what happened. But I'm saying, okay, we're still going to be, like, afraid not to proceed. And, again, we're talking about reparatory justice. There are, in Philly alone, 44,000 either vacant properties or plots of land now where they already bulldozed the property off and all you got is the land. So we have 44,000 either vacant property or parcels. I'm saying, family, we have now got to come up with some plans of action. And since some of these cities are, in fact, looking at and dealing with reparations in some way, shape, fashion, or form, L.A. being the more recent one, we better start coming up with some plans. We'll talk more about this next week. Unfortunately, we were not able to bring in the brother from Memphis because we were really, really running over, and I didn't want to bring him in late, so he had to rush. So we'll bring him in next week. We're talking about Brother Anthony because y'all need to hear some history about Memphis. Very interesting. He really gave me some insight. But anyway, family, we'll be back next week. I want to thank Brother Ray Ray, always, always lighting things up. Lighting it up, rather, and also, of course, Dr. Gail Frazier, and certainly General Parker, and everyone tuning in, Mama Condi, much love and respect, and to all of those who were in the stream, and we get ready to close out.
Oh, Sister Filet, well, the Mackey's group will have the kickoff for the family, Blog Talk family, and Prestige family, both Philly. Brother Truss Grand will be the keynote speaker to kick off the Black History Month. I'll send you the link, and he's going to be doing a lecture on Alexander Dumas. That's going to be this Wednesday at the Brooklyn William Mackey Jr. History Club, Brother Truss Grand.
Wonderful. So he's talking like the Three Musketeers, huh?
Yeah, so at least Black History Month, if we get more into it, maybe a lot of stuff wouldn't be happening to us like it's happening because we don't want to even look at it. And you just mention the same people every year.
Right,
same
that's
people.
Right.
But, you know, we're in for the fight. We're in for the fight of our lives, and we're not being protected. We're not being protected, and ain't no bill being passed, and everybody else getting bills passed, and vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother.
Rap on, brother. Rap on. I know that's right. All right, family. Listen, we're going to leave you all as we oftentimes greet you. But before we do, a big hail up to Ancestor Rosa Parks. Again, today is her Earth Day. I want to give thanks for that. I want to also remind you, next month we'll be doing A Million Black Women Rising, our first Indaba. Indaba means the great or the important meeting assembly, and we'll be doing that with our sisters in particular. Brothers can join us as well for some sessions, but some sessions will be sisters only, and those who are members of MWM will have the pleasure, the honor to vote. This session coming up, we will vote on who we are now going to proceed with in launching the campaign for it to be, drum roll again, our first national holiday for a black woman. We will be voting on that next month. So we'll keep you posted. And by the way, Mother Rosa Parks, Saint Rosa Parks is one of them. We are down to, I think, three now, and that's Saint Rosa Parks, Saint Harriet Tubman, Araminta, and Saint Sojourner Truth. So we'll give you some more information on that next week. And again, we will literally be voting on who Million Women March will now launch a national campaign for there to be a holiday for a black woman. We're going to do it anyway, whether you know these other people accept it or not. But, you know, again, since we do have Dr. King, it's only right, y'all. It's only right that we do have a sister now, okay? Come on now. Let's act like we know. If you can get a day off for Dr. King, you can get a day off for sister.
What y'all say about that? We're going to find out next week. All right, family. We're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace until there's truly justice, meaning Ma'ad. Because you know what we say, Brother Ray Ray, General, if there's no justice, there's no what?
Peace.
No peace, y'all. No peace. But we're going to still leave y'all. And with that, with much blessings and much love, we are out. Catch you all next week. Catch the Maxi Study Group on Wednesday. Sister Keisha on Thursday, 8 o'clock. Thorough Black Talk. Until next time, Pomosha to the Shinda. Together we shall win. Peace out.